Welcome to Penikai Neighbourhood Church Weekly Podcast. To find out more about us, or to listen to other podcasts, please explore our website, nazarene.co.uk.
Morning. It's nice to see everybody here. Last Sunday before the end of the decade. And where did that decade go? I was young when this decade started. Mark had hair. True, it was only 10 years. My life changed yesterday. Was it yesterday? Or was it Friday? Was it yesterday? I took receipt of these. Am I now officially older or old? In one way it was good, in another way it's been bad.
Can you say
my old? Yeah. No, I said older. Older. The older my phrase was, my older. It was older. My wife tells me this isn't quite right, but you know, for the number of glass wearers in the church, you can tell me. No, that's not what I was going to say. They've really been quite impact on me. They've been, obviously they make things clear, but they've given me headaches, and my eyes hurt, and I've actually felt physically sick. So I can't wear my glasses, otherwise I'll have to lie down, and that won't be handy, which also means what's in front of me is a bit of a blur, and some of you guys look like you've eaten Red Breck this morning as well, so there could be some severe freestyling today, which is so out of my comfort zone, you wouldn't believe. I have to have it all written down, even what I'm going to say, even my ad-libs are written down. So this may work. If I'm doing this in a minute, you'll know I've lost my track and my train of thought, and I'm trying to get back on. So it is good to be here, even if I can't see you. So there are pluses. So there are. We're going to look at a passage from John's Gospel this morning. I've been sort of, it's the last Sunday of the decade, of the year, and I've been very mindful. I think I preached last year sort of around New Year's time, and we were talking about New Year's resolutions. So it's been on my heart for a while about change, what can we do, and God's transforming power in that change. And this passage was put on my heart because I just feel there's a change here that ticks all the boxes. And I'll try and keep it short because I have to be honest and say that with the prayers that have been said and what's been said and faith coming up, my sermon's already been preached. So if I could ask Johan to put the passage up. Afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame or paralyzed, lay on the porches. See, footnote, I will come back to that. What you don't realise, I've written something on the sole of my shoe. That's my footnote. Oh, come on, give me... I can't see you groaning, I don't know, I don't care.
Well, I hope it was 12 inches long.
One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, someone else always gets ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up the mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath day. This is a bigger passage, and it goes on to talk about how the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day weren't happy that Jesus healed somebody on a Sabbath. To be quite honest, I don't think Jesus cared that it was a Sabbath. If I'm being blunt, I don't think he cared. So I'd like to sort of, I want to focus this morning just on the three sentences of conversation. Did you get well? Do you want to get well? Sorry, I can't. Well, pick up your mat. I find it quite interesting this man had been there for 38 years. For those 38 years, he would have probably been dropped off and he would have been collected by somebody at the end of the day. And I was trying to relate it to myself in the sense of how old was he actually? And I could probably put a case together to say they were basically probably about the same age as me. He probably wouldn't have been dropped off. He might have been an invalid as a child, but I think they only sort of recognised time frames when you're an adult. So this guy has been there 38 years, but he would have had his bar mitzvah or been drawn into adulthood at 13, which would have made him 51, which is how old I am. I know. Who said that? The footnote that it refers to there is that in certain manuscripts and in certain versions and translations of the Bible, they actually put a note in there as to what actually stirs the water. It's given that an angel, or superstitiously they suggest that an angel comes down and stirs the water. Whoever gets in there first of the guys that are around the pool gets healed. And he'd been there 38 years. And I would suggest that if he's been there for 38 years, he's probably witnessed that. He's probably witnessed healing in the pool. Because if you hadn't after 38 years, you'd probably say, giving this up as a bad job. So he's obviously seen it. And so therefore, that's why he stays. So some translations put that in there. I think as well, if he'd been there for 38 years, he would be well known in the area. A lot of people would know him. And he would probably have been there begging and eking out a living by just being around the pool. The pool area where the people gathered was not a nice place to be. It does actually exist. It was there. Obviously, it's all ruins now. I've never seen it myself. I saw pictures. Been there. Did you see the angel stirring in the water?
No water to be stirred there.
There you go. So it is there. For years, they thought that it wasn't. It wasn't part of what was going on there. But the pool was there. I saw written that it was around 250 feet one way, 350 feet another, and about 30 foot deep. Is that about right, Mark?
Yeah, close enough.
Close enough, thank you. I couldn't see it properly, I was just going on. But it was, as I said, in the passage, it said a sheep's gate. It was very close to the temple, and the shepherds would have taken their sheep through that water to, you know, before they went into the temple for the sacrifice. So it would have been an awful place to spend any part of your time, never mind 38 years. And then on this day, Jesus sees this man. And he knows his story straight away. And I find that incredible. I mean, some versions will say learned about this man. And as Mark said, the Greek tells me that it could either be spiritually given, or actually you might have asked people about this man at the time. But he knew about him straight away. It doesn't say why he chose this man in particular. It just tells us that he knew him. And he asks him a simple question. Do you want to get well? It's a simple question, but I don't think it's a simple answer. I think it is a loaded question, of which Jesus knows the answer to. My boss at work never asks you a question that he doesn't know the answer to. I don't know if it's the same with all managers, but they know for some reason. Does he want to get well? Do people who go to the gym want to get fit? Did Tom Hanks in Castaway want to get off that desert island? Did Robinson Crusoe? I think the answer would be yes. I think this man, as we do, as I do in work, when my boss asks me a question and then I know he knows the answer, I know what he's looking to get. I know, and I think this man knows that maybe Jesus is questioning his motives or just trying to bring some light to it. When you're asked this sort of question, I think it's like having a new pair of glasses. And I can say this from experience of the last 24 hours, because you're forced to look internally on what's happening and how you're dealing with things and what your situation is. Maybe you see things clearly. Maybe because you can see things clearly, it makes you feel a bit sick because you realise the mess that you're in, you know. And then you start to look at why. And this is how this man comes back to Jesus. I can't. I've had nobody to help me get to the pool. Some commentators suggest that this guy is making excuses. I can see that a little bit. I can see that maybe there were things that he could have done to help himself. Maybe. But he's admitting he needs help. And he says, I can't because I don't have the help that I need. I think it's easy for us at times to maybe hide behind the words, I can't. And really what we mean is, I won't. I'm not going to. But he can't. No one was there to help him. He was dropped off in the morning. He was picked up in the evening. All the other people there were technically his competition, for want of a better description. No one was there to help him. And in the end, only Jesus could help him. Yeah. But Jesus doesn't need to help him get into the water, because Jesus is the living water. He heals the man. I think it's quite interesting that of all the healings that Jesus does, there's an element of, dare I say, pure faith involved. But in this, there doesn't seem to be any faith from this gentleman at this point. But does Jesus say, well, you're not worthy? No, he heals him. In reality, Jesus was always this man's only hope, just as he's ours. And like this man, we're not asked to audition for Jesus' help. All we're asked to do is to bring him our helplessness and our mess. I have to say, and I'm kicking myself here because I was going to play the video that Pastor played on Christmas Day morning about the Messiah of the mess with a message I thought that was brilliant. And I think this guy had his issues and his mess, using very loose descriptions. We have ours. And Jesus meets us right there in the middle of the mess. As Faith said, Jesus doesn't say, I tell you what, go home, sort yourself out, and then come back and see me next Sunday. If I said that was the case, I think we'd all be leaving at this moment, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? We make the same mistakes as this man makes. We look to our version of the pool. Whatever that is. Whatever it is that we focus on as a potential solution to our problems. That's what we focus on. Like this man focuses on this pool for 38 years. Is that near enough 14,000 days? Almost as long as the Israelites in the wilderness. That's how long he was sat by that pool. You know, they say, you know, if you visit a certain place a few times, say, have you got your name on the seat? He probably had it carved somewhere. We look for our version of the pool, whatever that may be. We go where the crowds go. What's popular, you know? Various fads and trends. We follow the world. What the world says will give us satisfaction and what will provide the solution. Jesus says to this man, get up, pick up your mat and walk. That's three actions in one sentence. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. A life-changing moment tied directly to a call to action from Jesus. Action. But I think we need to understand here, it's Jesus who does the healing. It's a one-way gift from heaven. It's not because the guy got up that he got the healing. The healing came from Jesus. But Jesus always gives us something to obey. He wants to move us into action. Get up, make your bed, and move out. New life awaits. If I can read the rest of my notes. So we have the question, do you want to get well? Do you want to change that part of your life that's distracting, that's causing a mess in your life? I'm using the term mess. It's because of that video. I think that is so brilliant, the way that video. I was going to play it before I started speaking, but I probably will play it a little bit later. The mess in our lives. Jesus meets us at that mess. We need to decide to make a change to get well. You know, we may feel scared. We may be in slight denial that we don't have a mess. We don't have a problem. That everything's fine. But we need to decide if we want to get well. We can make excuses. I think I wrote something down here if I can get my notes. Sorry, I shouldn't have shuffled them, should I? As I said, Jesus knew everything about this man in the same vein that he knows everything about us. So whether we answer positively or negatively to the, do you want to get well? God knows if you want to get well. The guy then comes out with a, I can't. as I said, some people think he's just making excuses. Sometimes we can't. But what we have to do is admit that we need help. Yeah. And that's the first step. We need to say, Lord, I can't, but you can.
Yeah.
And then it comes to the doing something. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. David, now is not really a good time. I'm going through a bit of a bad period, and I'm sure God can't do anything with me at this time. I would like to point out that God likes to bless the mess.
Yes. Amen.
And do you know what God's favourite time is? Now. Admittedly, he has no time limits. In fact, he has no limits at all, but he has no time limits. But he does like now. We can ask for help now. He loves to say to us, get up. He loves to say, roll up your mat. He loves to say, get on with your new life.
Yeah.
It's a prime time for God to do only what God can do. It's never too late. It's just the right time. You know. So I think I've covered everything I wanted to say this morning. But as I say, don't feel that you have to wait. You know, I'll just wait it out. I'll just work it out myself. I mean, many times I've used the example of when I was a young lad, and we used to go to Rhyl on holidays, and the caravan site would always have cleaning ladies that come in on the Saturday before you checked in. But my mum would always clean the caravan on the Friday night before we checked out, because she didn't want people to see our mess. God doesn't care. God wants to see your mess. He wants to meet you in that mess. But we have to say, I can't, but you can.
Yeah.
Could we show that video again of the mess video? Please.
Just quickly say something before you do. Just felt God wanted me to add as well, but if you've been the disabled man by the pool for 38 years, that's what you are. That's how you see yourself. And whenever I read that and hear God, and Jesus said, you know, do you want to be well? I do wonder how much of him was like, but who would I be if I was well?
Yeah.
And that the answer is, you be mine. And you'll be whole. So, and I think we can hang on to what we think we are.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that God sees bigger and further than that. And he knows what you can be.
Yes.
For those of you who didn't see this, this is the video from Christmas Day morning.
The Christmas story. How would you explain it? How would you picture Christmas if you could frame it? The Nativity, right? Shepherds watching their flocks by night. Wise men trekking whilst tracking a sat-nav starlight with Mary and Joseph, humbled by the sight of little baby Jesus tucked in tight. That's Christmas, right? Propped up with straw and reeds and a tray of animal feed and cushioned in. Hey, I know it sounds quite cosy and nice. Reality was, there was no room for the little guy on that Bethlehem night. He kept in a cradle. Animals as roommates. I'm not trying to pick holes in the state of the place. I'm just saying the way they were staying was just short of space. We talk about entrance. His birth from a dress meant Jesus literally arrived in the mess. But less about the birthplace and the state of the floor. I mean, it's more to the Christmas story than the deck of straw. Flip forward 8 days. In the temple, this little guy's the reason for praise. From the lips of a guy called Sim, who's in his old age. For years, Sim waited in anticipation, but then the old met the new. My eyes, I have seen your salvation, the newborn Jesus, from messy manger to a passing of the baton just 8 days later. Seeing the mess of the birth comes a new age. And what's more, the birth was foretold in a mess age. Which brings us back to the cast. At the nativity set, you see, it was a message that guided their stable footsteps. An angel postman popped round, said Mary'd found favour, a save the date declaration, you'll give birth to the saviour. He'd be son of the Most High, born through the Spirit, heir to David's throne, his reign without limit to Joseph. Call him Jesus, he really will bless, cause he came to save people from all their mess. To the shepherds, he's here to rescue. That's why he's come. The reason for good news of joy, he's the one. As for the wise men, they figured the news. They gave gifts and paid homage to little King of the Jews. See, God brought the message, so they entered the mess to see Jesus' arrival at the nativity set. But let's back up a sec. See, this rhetoric rings a bell. Back in the day, Isaiah waxed lyrical about a future Emmanuel, God with us, one who'd be central to the story of forgiveness. So zoom out from the Christmas postcard, a message 700 years prior. He'll be a light to the searchers that spread salvation, says Isaiah. See, the angels' news, it wasn't new. In fact, these nativity messages echoed God's promises right through the ages. These messages read Jesus speaking hope to the earth, predicting his arrival centuries before the birth. Thing is, when Christmas comes round, maybe there's a danger that we go Pinterest with Christmas and just pin up the manger in the nativity scene. It's like rating a whole film by watching one scene or thinking you know a novel because you had a quick look. So you get the whole story by skim reading one page in a book. And what I said before, about him born in the mess and the deck out of straw, maybe it could also be a metaphor for all the mistakes, all the messiness in life and what that creates, all the stuff in this world that just doesn't sit right. There was a reason he was born on that first Christmas night. He was born in the mess to make the wrong right. He's the message of hope. Because out of the mess, saw God news birth that will certainly bless. Frame the stable, sure, but don't miss the picture. It was a message declared since the beginning of scripture. A war in the mess, but there's only one victor. A heel bruised, but be good news for sure. The very promise became flesh in that deck out of straw. See, from the mess comes a message, and there's none that is higher. Because what follows the mess is I-A-H, mess, I-A.
Wow. As I say, that's stuck with me, and I think Sharon as well, we've spoken about it. That is, we get tied up, as you said, about Pinterest in our Christmas. Why did Jesus come in the first place? To meet us in our mess, because our mess needed a Messiah. As Alison said, we may have a particular idea of what image of us, whether we see ourselves as invalid or emotionally an invalid, or how we see ourselves. And I think as we look to 2020 with vision, I'm not going to make the vision a 2020 joke, but let's look clearly at how we want to get well. I want to close with a song that's called Chainbreaker, and I think whatever chains that are holding you captive by the side of that pool are stopping you doing what Jesus is asking you to do, they're stopping you picking up your mat, rolling up your mat and walking into a new life. There's only one person, we can't, but he can.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been here house. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. Lord, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got if you feel alone, I need a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Prison shaking saviour.
Yes, amen.
In the film Shawshank Redemption, Morgan Freeman's character gets a chance of parole after approximately 40 years. He says to one of his friends, "I don't know if I want that. I've been here most of my life. Besides, these prison walls are funny. First you're afraid of them, then you get used to them. And after a while, you start relying on them." We have a prison-shaking saviour. Whatever situation, mess you find yourself in this morning, we have a prison-shaking saviour.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Lord, I can't, but you can.
Yeah.
Lord, you can break the chains. You can shake the prison. You can give us freedom. Lord, as we leave you today and as we look forward to 2020, Lord, we just ask that you be with us every step of the way. Yes. That you continue to fight for us even when maybe we sometimes lose the fight in ourselves. Yes. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us now. Go with each and every one of us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.